Welcome to the Real Investment Hour with Lance Roberts. It's a show about life, stocks, politics, and the never-ending pursuit of wealth in a capitalist market. Now, here's Lance Roberts and the Real Investment Hour.
Welcome to the Real Investment Hour. I'm your host, Lance Roberts, and this is our special edition of the program. I kind of like to think of it as our Choice Cuts edition with some of the best clips of the past week. Be sure to stop by our website, realinvestmentadvice.com, for the latest blog post and information on the next free event we're planning just for you. And you can also pick up our podcast of the show each evening as well, or through our SoundCloud or Stitcher radio apps on your phone. Just look for the Real Investment Hour, or through our media tab at realinvestmentadvice.com.
So, two things that are driving the markets right now. One of those is hope and expectations for tax reform, tax cuts, etc. And, you know, the entire Trump trade that began in November has pushed the markets up from 2,100 and change to 2,200, 2,300, 2,400. And then, of course, as of Friday, 2,500. It's been quite a stellar ride on the back of expectations for tax cuts. And we talked about that this morning to a bit of a degree on the Lance Roberts Show with David Coyle from Investopedia, specifically talking about the idea about tax cuts and tax reforms and the impact to earnings growth and the economy. And this is a very different environment that we have today versus back during Reagan. But importantly, the latest trigger that is driving stocks again higher at this point is hopes that next week we will see an actual blueprint of the tax cuts and tax reforms, and that we will start to get a vote on this, some negotiation, and hopefully passage of some type of tax cuts, tax reforms by the end of the year. Now, given what the debates and arguments were over the Affordable Care Act repeal, I am highly suspicious of anything getting done by the end of this year, particularly when in December we're going to be dealing once again with a continuing resolution and potential debt ceiling default situation, shutdown, government shutdown type scenario. But the renewed willingness to trade of the markets on expectations of tax cuts is hopeful. Of course, you have to ask yourself the question that have the markets, by rallying so much since the November election, have they priced in a big chunk of whatever benefit that you might receive from tax cuts? But nonetheless, there is no doubt that investors are extremely optimistic about the financial markets. In fact, just last week, I quoted some statistics from the Washington Journal NBC poll, which showed that investor optimism is now back to the highest level that it's been in 17 years. In fact, the last time it was at this level was 17 years ago in 1999. I don't have to remind you about how optimistic everybody was back then. But one thing that the markets are going to have to be looking for very closely, or looking at very closely, I should say, is the impact of the taxes themselves. But more importantly, what does this mean to corporations as well as to individuals? President Trump appears to be pushing through an agenda item that, well, almost no other Republicans right now thinks will happen. Trump continues to advocate for a federal corporate tax rate to be slashed to 15% from 35%. The president's argued in various campaign and post-election speeches that a 15% rate would make the U.S. more competitive globally, produce more jobs, kickstart economic growth. He said just last Wednesday that we're looking at a 15% tax rate, and we want a 15% rate because that would bring us low, but by not any means the lowest, this is a quote, but it would bring us to a level where China and other countries are, and we will be able to compete with anybody. Nobody will be able to touch us, so we would like to see 15%. I'm not sure who the we are, because the majority of the proposals that we're seeing coming out of the committee, the House Ways and Means Committee, which is chaired by Congressman Kevin Brady. We had him on the show just a couple weeks ago on the morning show. Talking about the fact that, well, it's going to be looking more like maybe 20 to 25%. Now, that's a far cry different than 15. And given the run-up in the markets on expectations of an earnings boost at 15% taxes, if you don't get to 15, all of a sudden maybe it's 25% after negotiations, then as all of a sudden the tax cuts aren't as beneficial to supporting stock prices. Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin, his quote was, the president has made it clear that he'd ideally like to get down to 15%. I don't know if we'll be able to achieve that given budget issues, but we're going to get this down to a very competitive level. Now, what did he mean by budget issues? Well, the issue is that we're running $20-plus trillion in debt. And in order for the Senate and Congress to pass through tax cuts using what's called the reconciliation process, it has to be budget neutral. In other words, 10 years out, the tax cuts can't add to the deficit. And so this is one has to be scored by the Congressional Budget Office. Now, the scoring doesn't mean anything. The scoring is wrong. It's always wrong. It never accounts for a recession. It's never going to be right, but that's what they have to do. It's just part of the process. So the question then becomes, of course, is that how is the market going to react? The market's already ran up in advance of the news. The market's already priced in the expectation of tax cuts and tax reform and, more important, repatriation of dollars from overseas. So to me, it looks like the risk really weighs more to the side of disappointment. That after the tax cut process gets into the mixing bowl of Congress and Senate and all the lobby groups and all of the special interest groups and all of the committees get to work on wrangling this and wrangling that and changing this tax credit for that tax credit. Don't take away my tax benefit. Just take away their tax benefit. That the end result is a mishmash of stuff that doesn't look like much of what was originally proposed. And I think there's a real risk that markets are potentially disappointed by that as we go forward. So this is something we really want to keep a close eye on, because the advances that the market has made and the growth that the market has. And again, we're watching third quarter earnings growth already be ratcheted down. And a lot of the growth in the first quarter and second quarter of this year that came through earnings came from the fact that earnings growth was massive inside of the energy sector. And that was because of the ramp up in oil prices from the mid-30s to 50 in the couple of quarters prior to that. That fed through. That had big boost earnings. We're talking about earnings growth in the energy sector of 400%+ in the first quarter. That was a huge boost to the overall earnings of the S&P 500. Outside of that, growth was okay, but it wasn't fantastic. Revenues were up, but not by much. In fact, revenues are about the same level now as they were in the first quarter. So with oil prices having stagnated for the last couple of quarters, about between $45 and $50 a barrel, there's a real risk to earnings expectations going forward. So my point about all this is that while we have a lot of bullish sentiment, the bullish trend is intact. We're long the markets. Again, we remain allocated right now, but we're watching these things very carefully because there seems to be a real potential for disappointment in what comes out of Washington. And we're not even talking about the possibility this all gets tied up into a major boondoggle and we wind up with another Affordable Care Act repeal in our hands and nothing gets done on taxes. That's an entirely different potential problem for the markets in the short term. But it's something that we need to pay attention to because, you know, when we go back to talking about investor confidence at all-time highs, we talk about the exuberance in the market right now. We talk about the extension in prices. There's very little concern currently about the potential for markets going down. that high level of complacency is a risk for a lot of investors. And most investors don't have a plan. I wrote about this. This is going to be in our blog post tomorrow. I've got a pretty extensive blog post I wrote for tomorrow talking about performance chasing. And right now, that's the problem with many investors is that the fear, it's what we call FOMO, it's the fear of missing out. But logic would tell you that when markets are exceedingly exuberant, paring back some winners, trimming off your losers, cleaning up your portfolio, raising some cash, that would be the prudent thing to do. But it's hard to do. That's the most difficult thing for people to do because they don't want to miss out. If I sell something and the market goes up without me, well, I've missed out. But just let me remind you of one thing. In 1997, if you had sold out of the market, went to cash, you didn't miss anything. By 2002, you were positive. In 2005, four, if you had sold out, right? 2-3 years early, if you had sold out, you didn't miss anything. And it's very likely that even if you sold everything today, went to cash, and did nothing for the next couple of years, it's likely you're not going to miss anything. You may miss out on the ride to the top, but the reality is that you're not going to sell the top anyway. Most investors don't. They simply don't have a method in hand. This is why, you know, we write about, I just wrote today, actually, if you go to our website today, I have our 15 rules that we follow in our shop for managing risk, doing exactly the same things we're talking about, how to clean out positions, how to manage risk in portfolios. They're based on basically about 25 years of experience, things that I've done wrong over the years I've learned from. So they're on the website. So if you simply go by realinvestmentadvice.com, you can get our rules, our 15 rules for managing money. But see, most investors don't have that. So they ride the market to the peak, they fail to sell, they wind up getting trapped on the other side, and that's the risk. But, you know, it's important to understand is that the real risk here for tax reform, tax cuts, and tax repeals is that potentially we get nothing done. And that's the big worry for the markets. We'll come back. Graham McCaskey trying to repeal the Affordable Care Act one more time before they lose out the ability to do it under reconciliation. But that could also be a big boost to the markets if they can get it done. We'll talk about that right after the break. Don't go away.
Are we friends yet? Do you like us? Follow Lance Roberts on Facebook.